Okay. Last week, Pastor Lee talked about being friends with each other. And he went back to Proverbs. The Proverbs about friends sticking together and friends loving one another. And so I'm going to start with the book of John 1:1. And in the beginning was the Word. We know that's Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. This guy, Christ, wants to be our friend. So this week let's talk about how we can be a friend to Christ. We spent a lot of time in John chapters 13 through 17. I'm not going to read all of that. But the setting here is the time of the Last Supper. Christ has washed the disciples' feet. When he has finished washing their feet, in chapter 13, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." In John 15:15, he tells us specifically that he wants to be our friend. He wants us to be his friend. "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other." And we'll hear that a lot. Love one another. You read these three chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, and one more, 17. Four chapters. He recaps what he's been going through with these guys for the last 3 years. This is the night before he was arrested. So this covers washing their feet up through their arrest, up through his arrest. And he gives a command: love one another over and over. And he gives the key to joy. Over and over during this time and elsewhere, he says, obey my command. The key to joy and peace is obedience. And he keeps saying this. He also makes promises. In chapter 14, starting verse 25, he says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." He wants to be our friend. He wants us to be his friend. And he tells us, tells us how to be his friend. He says, my command is that you love one another. John 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So he gives us a command, tells us the results of obedience, lays it all out. And these are guys that he's been with for the last 3 years. We send people to seminary they get a 4-year degree and then they spend a couple of years in seminary to be pastors. Christ hung out with these guys for 3 years and they changed the world. He changed the world with them because they became his friends. They believed in him. So we need to think about the three things that build on this. Our devotional life and our spiritual growth and discipleship. These are the ways we become Christ's friends and remain Christ's friends. In 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. And then in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lee talks about where is it written? The covenant denomination talks about where it is written. This is where it's written. If we read our devotional life, Philippians 4, let's see, 4 through 9. Building on a devotional life, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Christ talked about remaining in him. Your devotional life is what helps you remain in him. And there's an app for that. Yes, I really said that. There's an app for that.
See, you're not old.
Yes, I am. let's see. 2 or 3 years ago, not too long after we started coming to this church, Lee talked about an app called GoTandem. And it's still out there. And what you do when you start with it, they suggest that you fill out a little questionnaire. The things you're working on in your spiritual life, any problems you might have, things like that. And they use that and send you scripture, however often you set it up for. I set mine up for 7 in the morning and 10 in the evening. And if you have any doubt whatsoever that God's Word is alive and God's Word is real and God's Word is here for you, Christ wants to be your friend and wants you to have a devotional life to build you up, give this a give this a try. It doesn't take much. But just, this happens to me all the time. Today's Go Tandem, this morning. John 15:15. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. Diane had a Go Tandem this morning that was in the same vein. But it's a way to have a devotional life, or start having a devotional life to build on, that doesn't take any effort at all. You open your email and it's there. And it's amazing how encouraging that's been to me over the last 3 years or so, the Go Tandem. And having that devotional life, you read, you pray, talk with Christ. That leads to spiritual growth. And we have that promise. He's going to send the Counselor, also the Comforter, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We sang about the Holy Ghost this morning in the doxology. But the Holy Ghost is a person. One of the Trinity, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and He is part of the package when we believe in Christ. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. He will be in you. That's our promise. He said, I will send the Counselor, I will send the Comforter. So we can read, pray, and converse with Him, and then listen to the Spirit. In fact, Ephesians 4, verse 30 is very specific. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. What do you think He means by that?
Ignoring Him.
Amen. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Don't take the Holy Spirit for granted. Listen. I mean, you're having a prayer that can be a conversation with Christ. I mean, we start the kids out with, thank you, Jesus, for this food. And we progress into a conversational type of prayer with them. I learned that 100 feet in the air painting billboards with a guy from my church. And he'd talk with God. And it was like painting signs with Moses. We're standing there and feel a couple of raindrops. We're oil-based paint, so it's not that big a deal yet. But Ron says, Lord, we drove a long way to get here today, and we've been on this sign all day, and we'd appreciate if you could hold off that rain until we get off of this sign. It'd really help, so we didn't have to come back tomorrow. And we would get down, get the stage down, everything loaded into the truck, and be standing there cleaning brushes. It'd pour. But we got down off of that sign. We got the job done. And that taught me, that happened over and over, over that year. And taught me a lot about conversational prayer. So we don't grieve the Spirit. Don't ignore Him. Don't take Him for granted. Don't call Him it. The Holy Spirit is a person of Christ in our hearts, and don't break His heart. Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Love one another is His command. Obeying it is a reasonable act of worship for us. So the spiritual growth is going to lead to discipleship, is the next thing. And these guys followed Christ. So go to Peter's letter, 1 Peter 3:15. He says to be ready to give an answer. We want to be an effective friend for Christ. So we want to be able to give an answer. Why does your church do that? We pray. This prayer service was great today. We know a lot of people who are right on the edge, and we work with people who are on the edge, and we are closer to the edge than we think sometimes ourselves. And we remember that, and we pray. So why does your church do that? What makes you think you can do that? Why would you want to do that? Be ready to give an answer. Christ loved us. We love one another. We're commanded to love one another. And one another is not just each other in this church or in our own family. It's the homeless people that we work with. It's the incarcerated people that we work with. It's families who have never seen, really, a functioning family. They're just kind of biologically put together, and they have a lot of confrontation but very little communication. And that's what our Strengthening Families program is all about. So why do you do that? So be able to give an answer there. Be able to resist evil. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. But you got a friend who has already judged and condemned him. And his future is a lake of fire. John 15, verse 5. People who work with discipling others often tell people to begin, when they're going to start reading the Bible, start with the book of John, read through Revelation, then go back and start at Genesis and go through. But the book of John pretty much covers it as far as why we do what we do and how to become a disciple. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, be able to give an answer, be able to resist evil, and be able to bear fruit. And that goes back to John 15, 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. We're a church that loves each other. And that's meant to bear fruit and to be an effective friend of Christ. Father, thank you for a church that prays. And thank you, Lord, Creator of the universe, for wanting to be our friend and wanting us to be your friends. We just praise you and thank you for all that you give us and do for us. Pray that you'll continue to guide us in your work, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.